From your vantage point, what do you appreciate about Bill Belichick as a defensive strategist?
Coach Belichick has done a good job over the years of putting players in position to do what they do best. So if a guy's a good cover guy, he puts him in on covering situations on third and long, and he doesn't put him in if he can't tackle in the run game. He won't put him in on rundowns. And so there's a lot of substitution. He does a lot of good things with players that way, and he's always had a good scheme.
What would you say the offense has to do better this week as an improvement going into this game?
Well, the first thing, you know, we have to do, it goes, the whole thing is so tied together that everybody has to play a little bit better. And what we can't do is get behind the eight ball like we did. The games that we've lost, we've gotten down, and we haven't come back. We haven't kept good balance. We came out in the third quarter and had a nice drive running and passing. And we got to keep that mix. We got to stay in the game so we can keep a good mix of run, pass, play action, and stay on schedule with our offense. You don't want to spend a whole fourth quarter chunking the ball down the field and hoping the protection and the receivers can run that many routes for an entire quarter trying to come back.
Has there been an issue of people not knowing the playbook enough, or has there been mental mistakes?
No, when you say mistakes, they're not mental mistakes. They're a guy thinks this happened and he adjusts a certain way, and it might not be the same way the guy next to him saw it, or the quarterback and the receiver saw it. And so, you know, what we've done and our philosophy of coming and getting out of this rut is that we want to make sure that we come to practice and to work every day with an energy to improve and to get on the same page and be productive. We have a high high expectations of this offense, as does everyone, and we feel like we can be way better than we are, and we're just day to day grinding it out, trying to get that thing done.
Is there any common thread with JD's interception? Is there some plays he's missing?
Yeah, I wish it was the same play every time, but it's not. It's one game is this, another game is that. Sometimes it's protection, sometimes it's receiver, sometimes it's him, and that's football. And when we can limit, when we can call the best play and we can block it the best and run the play the best, we're not going to have those things. And that's our goal, and that's where we're still heading.
Does single coverage on the receivers always trump running if there's eight men in the box?
No, not always. But we do have schemes where it does, and we do have schemes where we'll run it either way. But that's a good question, Peg, and because I know Mark referenced the fact that as we went on in the game, you know, because we only had a couple runs in that first half, as we went on in the game, we took those options out of the playbook and ran plays that we didn't need them. So that was a point of emphasis at halftime, and I think we made a good adjustment. As you could see in the first drive of the third quarter, like I said, that's the kind of football we want to play. And then we were down two touchdowns, and we got out of that a little bit, and we had to speed the thing up to be able to get back two scores when we had such a short time at the end of the game to score.
Did that drive, when you made that adjustment, affect your guys' confidence in terms of running the ball against an eight-man front, or at least change the way you're going to approach it from now on?
No, it just proved that what we can do. And listen, Forte's, anybody you talk about has had a combination of plays where you run them no matter what, and you run pass kill them, or you pass run kill them, you know, as far as like going from a run to a pass, or having an option on a play that you might throw it out to a receiver instead of handing it off. I mean, that's been going on for years. It's nothing new. It's because we only ran the ball a couple times in the first half, it became a glowing problem, and it hasn't been in the past. It wasn't last year. It hasn't been in my history, but we did make an emphasis in the second half to make sure we handed the football off.
This might seem like it has an obvious answer, but establishing the run early, what does that do to opposing defenses to help you guys open up the entire offense?
Yeah, when you can have a good balance of run and pass, it makes the defensive backs and the linebackers play honestly. You know, they can't just cover all day and they can't just pass rush and go into pass rush mode. And so every offense's goal is to have balance, which we could have done a little bit differently last week. And we learned from that. We're moving on.
You obviously, you know, make adjustments as games go on. You don't make them all at halftime.
Correct.
Was there any thought to making some of those changes earlier? I mean, did you need to get all the way to halftime to find out if you're going down twice?
Well, we didn't have that many plays in general. So as the drives were ending up, the situation on the field, the position on the field, the time that was left, the plays that were optimal in that situation happened to be passes. And then the runs that we did run, like we said, we ended up getting the ball out into the flat as opposed to handing it off. And like I said, if you have 30 plays in the first half, 30, 40 plays in the first half, that's not going to be an issue, but we didn't. And so all of a sudden you go into halftime with only a couple runs.
Aaron, it seems like every team in the league says we're 3-0, 4-0, 5-0 when we don't commit a turnover. But, you know, obviously it's not that easy to not do that. But how do you become a team that's committing turnovers to not at this point of the season?
You make sure you stay in the game. You make sure you're within a score. And if you're not, you keep the balance that you want to keep on offense. And not try to pressure into getting a score in a second with throw after throw after throw. And I feel like, you know, we know that and we work that, and we just need to transfer it over into games.
But is that more of a coaching thing, or is it on the players to just have that kind of focus or whatever?
Yeah, it's both. It's both. And nobody wants to fumble. Nobody wants to throw an interception. Like you said, if we were throwing two interceptions a game and winning, these wouldn't be questions. But the fact is we're not. And we need to overcome one in a game. We can throw an interception and still win the game. We can fumble a ball and still win a game. And that's what we need to do and make this not an issue.
Yesterday, Mark, I think you used the word improvement, or said Jay was improving this year, had improved over last year. His turnover number would make that hard to, I guess, agree from the outside. What are we missing?
Well, the stats show that our completion rate is up, and turnovers are about the same. So you know that statistically you're improving. We expect, and we came into the season, we expect now to be an effective and a scoring offense. We just need to continue to work our production. We have a lot of things happen throughout the year. Football's a changing sport as far as guys in and out of the lineup, and we just need to get a groove as these games go, and improve our football. That's all we can do.
Our defense is changing their coverages on Brandon and Alshon together. That's making it tougher for them.
No, I think defenses play what they're going to play, and every once in a while they'll change up to try to stop one of those guys. But there's always other options on the field. They're not the only two receivers out there, and that's what you found with Matt Forte getting more catches when they're covering those two.
When you look at the Patriots' defense, what are their biggest strengths against the pass?
They have a lot of talented DBs. They're very, very talented in that area. They'll play some man coverage, bump man, and they're able to run with a lot of guys. And then they'll back off and play deep and three deep, and you have to throw it underneath. So it's a good combination of both. But when it all comes down to it, they're very talented at the DB position.
Where do you see the difference that Ravens making for them?
He's allowing them to play more man. You know, in recent history. You've seen more shell defenses or zone coverages, two deep defenses, that I recall the last few times I've had experience with New England defense, and this is the first time in a long time that it's been predominantly man defense and single high safety defense.
When you see Rex used to use them and just go get that guy.
Yeah.
Belichick's using them a little different, right?
Well, we've seen him do that at times.
Yeah.
When they want to take a guy away, You know, it's like any defense. If they want to put two guys or their best player on your best player has to beat their best player, or if they put two on you, we have to throw it somewhere else.
Coach, is there ever a time or a matchup when you see when you kind of pull back the reins on Jay's audible freedom?
Explain that question.
Is there ever a time when you don't want him to audible as much, or when you head into a matchup, or if you start to see something, do you?
Each game has its own game plan. So certain people are in certain spots to be able to get to allow Jay to do what's best for the offense. And for the most part, he's done that.
Coach, you talked about the limited amount of plays you were able to run in the first half of the game. You know, 18 in the first half. What was it that the Dolphins did differently that you guys weren't expecting that didn't allow you to sustain some drives?
Honestly, it was us. You know, like it's been. We just have not executed to the point of what we need to execute. And it's coaching, it's playing, it's meetings, it's studying, it's practice, it's going to the game and doing it, it's carrying over from practice to the game. We need to execute better.
Surprise you at this point in the season that you're still having those types of execution issues?
We expect execution each week, and when we don't get it, we go back to the drawing board. We make sure that we are getting it in practice, getting it in meetings, and getting it off the field and on the field. So we have an expectation, and we expect, and we're going to continue to expect that we can score touchdowns.
Aaron, is ball security and decision making the basically the two final things that Jay has to clean up in order for him to get to the level that you believe he can ultimately get to?
You know, our offense needs to do that. Our offense needs to be precise enough that everybody, all 11 together, whatever 11 we put on the field, needs to be precise, needs to be efficient, so we can control the football and score touchdowns.
Aaron, there's been a lot of talk about leadership this week. Does that get overblown by people on the outside, or is there some validity to that?
You know, we see leadership as guys coming to work and doing the right thing. How do you lead? You know, how do you lead in this room? Well, everybody's got a little bit different personality. And one guy's going to study harder than the next guy. The next guy's going to work harder than the next guy. Somebody's going to talk while he's working. Somebody's not going to talk while they're working. And leadership is shown in so many different ways that to measure each individual's leadership, we want everybody to lead in this place. We don't want to keep anyone down. So our goal is all 53 players find a way to lead in some way, their group, their room, their position, themselves. But we're trying to grow leaders, not have one leader or two leaders.
Aaron, when you answered the question about ball security and Jay, and you said, we need to do this, our office needs to do this, is there, in general, the coaching staff doesn't want to point fingers, doesn't want to, you know, point out mistakes by an individual player, whether it's Jay or Brandon or anyone else, or does that actually happen, you know, when we're not around, you know?
We talk about why things happen, and we explain exactly why we feel it's happened on the film, and at the same time, most of the time, it's more than one guy. It's two guys, it's three guys, it's 11 guys. Rarely is it one man's fault in football, or we'd be playing tennis. We'd be one-on-one, and we're not. It's 11 on 11, and that's the thing. That's why you practice so much. That's why you go out and you have to go out there every day, and you don't need to in some other sports, but you have to get 11 guys gelling together, and we haven't done that yet, and we need to do it.
So it's not a matter of wanting, you know, for fear of losing a player if you were to do that. That's not why you don't do it.
Oh, listen, when we are watching the tape with our players, we say exactly what you should do on every play, and we don't chastise this thing they didn't do. We talk to them about what they should do. And we find that most of the best way to teach.
Aaron,